Welcome to Kick-Ass Couples Nation Behind the Scenes, where you get exclusive footage just for our members. Listen in to hear our fantastic guests respond to a few extra questions and get further insight into how these committed couples handle areas we all wonder about in our own relationships.
I would love to ask you all, what has been the biggest challenge that you've experienced in your relationship? And then what did you do to overcome it?
I think the biggest challenge was finances, not so much how we spend our money. We've been blessed to live most of our married life out of debt, but saving for the future. So my parents were also in ministry and getting into their 50s and 60s up to their retirement. And my dad died young. He was just shy of 69. I was so concerned about their welfare and their finances, like how they were going to live. And being two people without children and me spending part of our married life in the corporate world, just in my mind, I had decided we should have a big retirement account. We should have money. And of course, being a pastor of small churches, raises weren't often forthcoming. Mm-hmm. And then I leap out of the corporate world and cut our household income into 2/3 to start writing and making a couple $1,000 a book at the start. And that moment where we were like, okay, here we go with our retirement account, just never came. And that was kind of like the biggest stress that we had in the 50s. And that's when he told me, I just stopped worrying about it when God opened the door for this house. And I was like, well, that would have been nice to know. So the result was we opened accounts. We got things going. We started talking to people and realizing that this was something that was important really to both of us. But I was getting to the point where, hey, we're in our mid-50s. You know, how much longer do we think we're going to do this?
And So we can easily retire now and live for 8, maybe 10 years.
What else does anybody need?
And financial stress. Financial stress, it has a really big impact on our relationship.
Sure.
I think that it can have a very negative impact on relationships,
sadly. One of the biggest stressors on couples is our finances, getting agreement and how to approach. And
yeah, so that was probably more Rachel than me. And part of that might be because I'm doing the books and I'm going, well, we're paying the bills, we're okay. And I'm willing to let the future worry about the future. And then as we got to be in our 50s, I'm going, wow, the future's getting close. We should.
Right.
Yes.
But we paid off our house. So we just shifted that over into that house payment, went to retirement, you know, and so we were able to start doing that.
We figured it out.
Yeah. But mine would probably be, I don't know that we, I think ministry has so many challenges that our marriage challenges pale in comparison. So they don't ever equate to challenges. But for me, I think it would be keeping all of that out of affecting our marriage. I semi-jokingly tell pastors, I tell young pastors, I think I'm called to be a pastor. I go, don't do it unless God makes you. And I mean that because there's going to come a point where you are going to be challenged and you need to know God put you there. You didn't put you there because you'll want to quit. And so at the end of the day, the job is, it shouldn't be, but a lot of it is about meeting other people's expectations. And if you have a big church, you just have a lot of expectations to meet, and that gets really fatiguing. And you're either doing that or you're training them that I'm not really here to meet your expectations. I'm here to help you connect with the guy who does meet your expectations. And so for me, probably the biggest challenge in all these years is keeping that stress from affecting our relationship, keeping I did things like early on, I said, look, there's no pastor's wife position. They're not paying you. Do what you want. Don't feel any expectation from the church.
Right. Yeah.
And so now she leads worship. But not because I made her, because God
right.
made her.
Because God made her.
So, yeah. you think the key? So what's the key? Is the key that the key to not letting that affect you or your relationship is what? What's the key to there?
I think I think it's that it's a job and it's a calling, and it's, there are fine lines. And at the end of the day, if Church on the Rock doesn't make it, it's not that big a deal. There's a lot of good churches in this town. Everybody will be fine. It's not my life. And so I have to take it seriously, but it can't be more important than my marriage. Can't be sure. More important than my relationship with Rachel. Even though it's God's calling and I have to do what God tells me to do, but God's already put it in writing about my marriage. So
yeah, right.
I got to do that too. And, sure. And maybe I guess it's just prioritizing. And it doesn't mean that my marriage always comes before. I mean, you know, we might not celebrate a birthday because there's something happening at church, but it means in the big picture, my marriage comes before.
That's great.
I would think too, to add to that, for him, because of his personality and his makeup and the way he carries things and the way he carries responsibility. I mean, he talks a lot about responsibility in the podcast, but that's because a lot of that is who he is, that, he didn't want to come home and always have to have a ministry project at home. That was important to him going into the marriage. Mm-hmm. But also if he came home and I needed him for some reason, he didn't want to feel like, oh, well, I got to minister it again, you know, after a long day, or, oh, wow, now I got a problem at home. So for him, that was important. That's why he tries to divide those lines, is that sure. If I need him, that's different than somebody
else. Yeah, setting those boundaries,
yes.
Especially for a pastor, I think is very important. And having that understanding in your relationship is huge.
Yeah, just because you're doing that work doesn't mean it's allowed to come over and take over. And that's right. The message that everybody needs to hear about the relationship is it can't change your priorities. You everybody's, you know, is doing something they think is important, and but the priorities still have to take, they have to come first.
Yeah,
and especially
absolutely. There are lots of jobs that are just as stressful and can take over just as easily.
I'd love to talk a little bit about intimacy. There are a lot of different types of intimacy. But Tony, I'd love to know from you, what do you need from Rachel to feel the highest level of intimacy from you?
This is awesome.
This is funny because we joke about this. We did the five love languages thing, mm-hmm. And as near as we can tell, Rachel has at least three.
That's
what one today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, mine is basically leave me alone. What was the old Rita Rudner joke? She goes, I figured out what men want. They want me to be really, 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 really close to them and leave them alone. And I went, okay.
That's what I need.
That's just me. No, what I need to know that we're a team, that she's there. I mean, for me, I feel like my needs are being met if we're in the same room reading a book. I'm like, there she is. There's my wife. She's with me. If I have a question, she'll answer me. So I don't know that I have a lot. Again, pretty introverted. That's probably
so not just having her near you.
Knowing she's with you.
Knowing that she's there. How about you, Rachel?
We joke that he has the emotional range of a cow. Yeah. So every once in a while, I'll just go moo. Me?
What do you need from Tony?
FaceTime. I think quality time is important to me. I'm a gifts person, but it also has to have meaning. Like, just don't, I found this piece of,
don't throw something at me.
Yeah, right. It has to, I thought of you when I bought this kind of thing. Probably what's the other one? Touch, which isn't a strong suit of his. But I don't have a problem going, okay, I need you to hug me. Or
so you ask.
I do. Yeah. But he's super.
Let me know I haven't been hugging enough.
Right. Sure. But it's super, he's super affectionate in the sense of, since day one, always tells me he loves me. You know, we say that many times throughout the day, kisses me. That's not a that's never been an issue at all. So it's more of the space thing, you know. This is his space. This is his table.
Right.
I forget to let you sit on my table sometimes. Yeah. But for me, I feel like it's super important for even in that to be secure in myself. So I feel pretty secure in myself, which is another part of marriage, that sometimes the problems are the things that we carry that we need to let God heal. And so we view the world differently. So if we're bringing in baggage from our childhood or past relationships, mm-hmm. and then they do something that triggers that, mm-hmm. our spouse does something, then all of a sudden we're spiraling and it becomes an issue that may take days to come out of, but it's okay with me. But when he does spontaneously, or he spontaneously, a couple of weeks ago, he told me something spontaneously that was a revelation about him. And that makes it just all the more sweet and tender to me. I love those moments almost more because they're so intentional from his heart.
Sure. Mm. When you're learning, those opportunities to learn, that's great.
And so I think there's a balance between you're wired how you're wired. I can remember being a kid and just sitting in my room for hours with the radio on, just thinking about stuff. So I've always, I regenerate by it.
That's how you recharge. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody recharges differently. Some need to get away and have the alone time, and some need to be around people to get that energy. And that's, and that's okay. Well, I have one final short question. This is a one word, not a 10 sentence. You only get to give me one word. And Rachel, I'm going to ask you first.
Okay. Here we go.
This is a fill in the blank. The key to a successful marriage is blank.
Jesus.
Okay. Tony, same question to you. The key to a successful marriage is?
Okay. If I can't use her word, unselfishness.
Unselfishness. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
Or don't be selfish. Like, but
both good answers. Words.
Both great answers. Yeah. Well, again, thank you all so much. It's been fun to get to know you.
You too.
And, peek under the hood, behind the curtain a little bit, and learn more about how you guys make it work. Thanks for joining us today. And we can't wait to share this episode. It'll come out soon. And then we'll do a recap episode. Kim and I do a little cliff notes summary of the pearls and what people can take and apply, and talk about a relationship concept. So thank you for the opportunity. Awesome. We love being with you guys.
It was great meeting you. Thank you for being so open-hearted.
It's our pleasure. It was fun.
Go out there and do some kick-ass marriage counseling.
There you go.
Absolutely. We're going to keep working.
We love it. Thank you guys so much.
Take care.
We'll talk to you all soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.